once you see it, you can't unsee it. Right. So once you see something, right. that's it, right? For good or for bad,
yeah,
right? It's in your brain now.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't even buy one. Borrow someone's gram scale, and I would pour one serving of cereal in a bowl that says on the box, you know, the box says 150 calories per 30 grams, whatever it is.
Correct.
Pour that and look at it. That will change your perspective on everything.
Because most people are probably eating four serving sizes if they have a bowl of cereal.
At least. I would say at least. And then also when you're eating a salad because you think you're going to be healthy, go ahead and measure how much 2 tablespoons of oil looks like. And that's 120 calories if it's olive oil.
Wow.
And if you have 2 tablespoons, you're realizing that, on my really healthy salad, I might actually be having 800 to 1,000 calories of oil on this thing.
Holy crap.
Depending on how much I'm going like this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the salad, you may as well have had the cheeseburger.
Right.
Because the cheeseburger has less calories.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode here on the Strong by Design podcast. Sitting again out here in the compound, we've been doing a lot of these podcasts out here because we have more room, you know, to move around and get comfortable. And it's like we're in two different worlds right now. You're in shorts and in a nice polo shirt, like it's 82 degrees out, like you're going golfing. I'm dressed like it's brisk, which it is, by the way, here in Florida right now. When this airs, it'll probably still be pretty chilly down here in Florida, but like it was in the 40s this morning, dude. Mm-hmm. For us Floridians, now you're saying you thrive in that.
That is my optimal temperature is 40 degrees.
40 degrees. You say you operate great at 40.
Yeah.
So, and I do miss, I'm from up the Northeast. You're from up North. Like I miss the seasons. I miss the cold. And, So this is a luxury to be able to put jeans on and a warm top. So I do love that. Let me go ahead and welcome our listeners, right? We have so many new listeners and past listeners on the podcast. We're so blessed to have you. That's why we've doubled up. We're releasing 2 episodes a week now. We used to be for years, we were 1 episode a week. Every once in a while, we'd hit 2 if we, you know, kind of got deep in interviews with our guests or in-house content. And we've just been having so much fun with all of the different people that we've been networking with and getting to know. And plus we have so many hosts on the show. If you're a new listener, you don't realize I'm Coach Chris. There is also Tanya, who's a holistic health practitioner. We have Jared Haley, who is a pastor and father and husband, and he's one of our videographers here, and he's just amazing. And of course, we have the founder of the company of Critical Bench, Mike Westerdahl, who's my longtime friend. He's great when it comes to anything leadership or coaching, or mentorship, faith and family stuff. He loves getting in on those conversations as well, but he's a pretty busy guy. So we typically, I would say that Jared and I and Tanya kind of share the load evenly. And then when we can get Mike involved in hosting, he also will host. And we've had so many great episodes, obviously in 2023 and now in 2024, we're just continuing to build momentum. We're going to be coming into our 7th season later this year on the podcast. We can't thank you enough for coming back and listening to the show, for leaving us a rating or review. If you haven't done that yet, please go ahead and do that. I'll remind you again at the end of this episode for sure. So our amazing guest sitting across from me, ready to go to the beach perhaps in his flip-flops after this. I'm going to go wrap up in a blanket in my office. This is hilarious. Mr. Michael Foutrides is here. I think I said it right. I've been saying your last name now for a little under a year.
Yeah.
Welcome, man.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
I know. You said that. You said, this is like exciting. You know? And we're excited to have you here because of your story, just how we came to know you. And I want to kind of just brag on you a little bit, if you don't mind, at the start of this.
Because not too much. Okay.
If our listeners aren't aware, if they don't follow us on YouTube, they maybe don't know that we did this. We had basically an American Idol event last year on our YouTube channel. It was to find talent, to find some gems in the area that worked in the fitness and health space and were interested in participating on our channel, being regular return coaches and experts in their field. And it takes a certain type of personality to do this. Everybody's not kind of gifted in a way to speak on camera and to really connect with somebody on the other side. It does take a lot of practice. I sucked at it for like the first several hundred videos I ever made. But you had so Mike was, he sent in his your audition tape and we you followed all the steps. And we included you on that day to come in either the AM or the PM slot. And we turned our office space into like an American Idol judges, room. It was pretty intense.
It was
right?
awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
It was awesome.
And obviously our video team, Jared and Steven, are like amazing. We Legends. Also had some other hired help that was here that day because of the kind of the magnitude of the day. But those guys ran the day beautifully. And the day was just a total win because we ended up finding like not just one, but like six people that we really liked and wanted back out of like the 15 that were here.
Yeah.
And you being one of them, we thought right out of the gate, we're like, this guy's so well spoken, has such a calm, you just had such a smoothness and calmness. And there's another word there I'm searching for, a certainty in your words. Some people don't have that, right? Because when they're speaking on camera, certainly if they don't have a lot of practice, they're a little bit hesitant or they're not sure of themselves. Sure. You had a confidence and a certainty to like the way you projected.
Thank you.
That was very like, it was refreshing to see, certainly in an audition. It was like, wow, this guy looks like he's been doing this for a long time and here he is. And so you were an instant favorite for everybody. And we started getting you back. You've been here several times now over the past 10 months or whatever it's been, nine months. And it's just been such a pleasure. And then we knew you had so much history in this area that it was just like a long time coming to have you as a guest on the podcast. So
thanks.
Just excited to have you here. And for me to know more about you, but also for our listeners to know more about you. And then they can go see you on our YouTube channel, which is so much fun after. Where I encourage everybody, go check out Critical Bench on YouTube if you're not following us already. There's so much there.
Definitely.
So much free content for you to learn things about, how to get more fit, how to lose weight, how to get over the hurdle. It's very much beginner level information. We have follow along live workouts every Monday morning. There's so much there and Mike's been a part of that and it's been such a pleasure to have him. So who is Mike Foutrides? Like, take me back to you as a kid. I just selfishly want to know a little bit more too, because I know you had some struggles and stuff.
You're not,
you weren't always this fit, confident, whatever persona that you're rocking these days. Cause you, like I said, you're like Tiger Woods over here. He's ready to go take the back nine after this podcast. So how did you get to that point?
Well, first things first, thanks for having me. Everybody here at Critical Bench is awesome. They're just great. Everybody, it's awesome.
I'll give you money later.
So no money accepted. So background, I was always a fat kid. I wish I brought it, but I have this picture of me when I was a little kid. I might've been like 12 or 13 and I was with my dad and I was a Cub Scout and I was like shooting a .22 rifle and I was on this bench like shooting this rifle. And I was just like this mound of fat on this bench. And I was just like, looking at it just shows that like, you can come from any background and you can get fit and it's your choice.
That's right.
And all you got to do is go from not knowing how to do it to knowing how to do it. And my whole life was just kind of searching for like how, and I mean my whole life, like my whole teenage life, even when I was in the Navy, I was overweight and I tried all this stuff when I was a little kid. I didn't really get teased that much because you kind of like when you're a fat kid, you kind of grow into your personality.
You
a little
owned
bit.
It. So
yeah, I owned it. Exactly. but it was just kind of you can't hide. When you're really overweight, you really can't hide it because it's just sitting there. You know, you can't hide it. So
yeah.
You either have to deal with it or kind of hide from yourself. So
What would you say was the cause behind it? Other than, I mean, were you always snacking? Were you kind of always given kind of poor food options from your folks? Because, you know, some folks, they're trying hard, but they just don't know. They don't have a background in it. So, you know, I grew up in the 80s as a kid. I was born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s, really. And like Rice-A-Roni and the San Francisco treat, you know, and I'm trying to think other like mac and cheese. And certainly, you know, we would do like spaghetti night and taco night and have like themed, you know, type meals and stuff. I think I started to learn a little bit once I got around 10 or 12, like what healthy food choices actually were. But I mean, I grew up on eating cereal every morning for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like big bowls of cereal.
Yeah.
You know, eating the Munchkin whole donuts at church, you know, or at home, if they made it home. You know, so what was that like for you? I mean, what do you think, or was it inactivity combined with that? What would you say?
That's a good question. And I actually grew up with I grew up Greek and Italian. So that food is pretty, like, other than the pasta and stuff like that and the volume of pasta, right?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty healthy for you as far as
especially
like,
Greek, Mediterranean.
Yeah. And it's everything was fresh. There was no, like, there's no weirdness going on. But there was a problem in that I grew up in the 90s, right? And you grew up in the 80s.
Right.
And that was before the internet. So you actually had neighbors that you loved.
Right.
And no door was locked, you know, and this is in like LA, right? Like this, like no door was locked, you know? Wow. And so I used to go to my neighbor's friend's house, my neighbor's house, who were Mexicans. And these are like legitimate Mexicans where the refried beans were homemade. And there's a tub of lard under the sink that his mom would take a little paint scraper and go, and then put it in the refri-. Like it was the real deal. Wow. So I'd eat dinner at my house and then I'd go eat dinner at their house because all the neighborhood kids were everyone's kids. So you just kind of filter it out. So I was just
you're just doubling up. It was a quantity issue.
Yeah, I was just getting after
it. Bring that a little closer towards you. Just a tidge. Yeah.
Good?
Yeah, I think that's good. A little up now.
Boom.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Cool. Yeah, I was just getting after it.
A little picky. So you're just getting after it. Yeah. I wonder if that was my issue or not, if it was a quality or a quantity issue. But I went through my own phase. It wasn't, I would say it was a shorter phase because I was pretty lean and wiry and fit, I guess you could say, in my elementary school years, middle school, sixth to eighth grade, I kind of got like husky. They had a whole state. I don't know if they still have that. Do you remember that word? I hated that word. Just call me fat. Okay.
There were pant sizes that said like 34 husky.
Husky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, am I a dog? I like dogs, but why are you equating me? Why don't you just call me like gorilla or you know, put another, it was like weird. Husky section. And up north, I don't know if you remember store like Bradley's and Caldor's. Do you remember stores like that?
No. Uh-huh.
So these are like the predecessors to like, you know, Target and stuff didn't exist, at least not in the Northeast. It didn't.
Okay.
Like there were no Targets or Walmarts or anything like Kmarts, not by me. So they had these other stores, Caldor's and Bradley's. If anyone listening knows what I'm saying right now, you grew up in the Northeast, maybe in Connecticut. And that's where you would go for your department store for for clothing.
Okay.
And we would go to the damn husky section and with my mom, you know, and I'm feeling like I'm already not like loving, like my body's like, you know, kind of frumpy and we're in a husky, you know, my mom's like, what do you think? You know, I think this, you know, I'm like, this is, couldn't be worse.
Couldn't be worse.
But luckily once I got to high school, I think I just hit a growth spurt and was playing tons of sports, lots of football and stuff. And I just grew right out of it. Thankfully, but you kind of were battling all the way through high school with this, even into the Navy, you were struggling with your weight.
Yes.
What things were you trying or attempting to do and not finding success?
Everything. So one of the funniest ones, I'm sure if any of my Navy buddies or whatever watch this, they'd remember the time where I went on this. Have you ever heard of, you've heard of Tim Ferriss, right?
Of course.
Well, he wrote some great books. 4-Hour Work Week. Well, he also, 4-Hour Chef. He also wrote the 4-Hour Body. Have you heard of that book?
I've heard of, I know he has a whole, it's all 4-hour stuff, right? Does he have a 4-hour work day or is that somebody else?
Yeah. 4-hour work day. That's Tim Ferriss.
That's him too.
Yeah. That's him too.
Okay.
So we made this diet. It's called the 4-hour body. And basically you pick a meat, you pick a vet, you can have some vegetables and stuff, but the basis of your carbohydrate was beans. So you ate just like a ton of meat. It was called the slow carb diet thing.
Interesting. Okay.
And man, like that didn't do anything for me. I lost like 10 pounds, but it was one of those things where because you had like a cheat day, right? You lost some weight at the beginning, but then you kind of started living for the cheat day.
Yeah.
And then it didn't become a cheat day. It became a cheat the night before and a cheat the morning after.
You were hitting the edges.
That's a good way to put it. I was hitting the edges for sure. And so I tried all kinds of things like that. So that was just one, but that's the funniest one because it's one I would get made fun of the most for in the Navy for that. You'd lose 10 pounds at a time, but then you just go right back up because you're not, it's like just not addressing the actual problem of like understanding how food affects your body in a common sense way so that you can get in control of how you look.
I feel like this is how a lot of people are struggling, like well into adulthood with the same thing. They're trying things. And if you hear any background noise, it's just because of where we are. You know, we're in the industrial, professional center, and there's always like, we don't have Zambonis, but we have, I'm pausing our conversation right now. We have helicopters.
Yeah.
Right. We have Coast Guard right next to us with an airport. So we also have airplanes. We have garbage trucks.
Right.
We have delivery trucks of all kinds. No trains. Oh, emergency. I can't tell you how many, because where we're located, how many sirens we will hear.
Oh yeah. All day
because
long.
Because they're going past us on Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Or in the neighborhood behind or something. So anyway. Yeah. And then right over there on 49th Street, you got the prison. There's a prison over there. There's a justice center over
there.
That's right. And some sketchy people walking the streets over that way. So I'm sure those sirens could be attributed to that. Anyway,
hey, we're alive over here.
We are.
We're not dead.
We're thriving.
We're thriving.
We're thriving. So, all right. So my question was going to be, what was it about the Navy that drew you in? Like, was that a hope of yours to finally get to a place where you felt more, just better about yourself, or what were you doing it more for you or to satisfy someone else's?
That's a good question too. I actually was going to be, I was actually going for a ROTC scholarship.
Okay.
Right. Because I was one of those kids that like got B's because I knew that if I got good grades that I'd have, my parents would give me enough freedom that I could do, pretty much whatever I want. But I wasn't an A student because that's too much effort. The B's got me where I wanted to go.
Right.
Right. But then it was kind of like junior year of high school. I was like, oh man, like I don't want to pay $10 million for a degree at college, And so I was like, well, what's my options? And, we had a friend that was an officer in the Navy. He was a commander and he said, you should try to go for the ROTC scholarship, which is like 180 grand for school and your ROTC. Well, anyway, I didn't get it. I did not get that, but they told me really late. Like I was supposed to know in April of my graduating year. They told me in like late June that I didn't get it.
Yeah.
So I went to like community college cause I didn't know what to do. And, some of my friends had enlisted in the Navy. And so I was just like, I can't do this. And so I just enlisted in the Navy, as a nuke in the Navy.
You were just really hating this post high school phase with like, I'm in community college. Like where am I going in life? Like, I have some buddies that went in. I'm just going for it.
Yeah. And they come back from leave, and they'd have like some money in their pocket. And they'd have a uniform, they're like,
it looked like they had something going on.
Yeah, exactly right. So that's kind of what got me into it. And also my whole family was in the military.
Oh, wow.
Everyone who could have been in World War II was in World War II. And I used to sit around the table with all these old guys and they'd have great conversations.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I heard every boot camp story. And when I was in boot camp, it was like, oh, it's my turn, So there was a lot of history too. So I always knew the military was kind of in my future. I just didn't know. How?
I had those feelings too, thinking while I was actually in college that I would maybe go in after college. I went to college one of my roommates was a best friend of my brother's growing up, who after he finished his 4-year tour with the Marines, he was in the first Gulf War.
Oh, wow.
He was in from 89 to 93.
Yeah.
And then I was in college from 94 to 98. And so he moved up and lived with us and we became really close.
Nice.
Like I knew him when I was little, but he was my brother's best friend.
Right.
Well, Jay, I call him Corp. That's what I call him. Corporal. Corp. Jason Walker, but he goes by Jay.
Okay.
No one calls him Jason. He goes by Jay. but I call him Corp. Anyway, he would tell me all these great stories. And sure. I was like, oh, I want to go, you know. And I really thought, like, when I graduate college, it's a good chance I could end up going in. But then I'm like, well, if he's not going to be there, though, I won't like it as much.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. he was like my gateway to trying to live out all those great memories that he had.
Right.
I was like, honestly, jealous. But, like, there's a brotherhood there
sure.
that you're just never going to probably know.
Yeah.
Right. Are you still tight with anybody that you
yeah.
were in with?
Oh yeah. Like my godson, who I've hit, we were talking about the baseball before my godson.
Yeah.
His dad is my best friend from the Navy. You know?
Wow.
And so, but I have a feeling that if you were in the military though, you'd fit in really well.
I think I could have been a good military guy.
Yeah, you would,
I think so. I'm a rah, rah, like passion guy.
But also you're like, you're energetic and fun to talk to. Mm-hmm. And that's like half the game in the military. Cause sometimes you're sitting with someone for like 6 hours at a time.
Right.
You can't be boring. If you're boring, everybody hates you. Like, so
you gotta be the entertaining, kind of the
you yeah. have to entertain each other. Cause yeah. you have 6 hours, 8 hours to kill sometimes with just one person.
Wow.
So you'd be great at it. In my
wow.
opinion.
Well, yeah. thanks bro.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I wasn't even looking for a compliment there, but you know, you came through for me. That's great. So, we kind of, did we alert, I think you alluded to it earlier on, but maybe not, that, yeah, I think you did, because people, in this life, you're not able to change what God gave you, what your parents gave you.
Right.
Your genes, your genetic makeup, your biology, you can't really change that, but
right.
you can influence it.
Yes.
Through your lifestyle habits, good or bad.
Right.
And so, you started to obviously recognize this as you got older and wiser and through the Navy, out of the Navy, and still you were kind of not where you wanted to be physically.
Right.
What was that turning point for you? What was the shift? I think it was somebody that you ended up meeting.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So, well, first things first, just getting out of the Navy with my life.
Well,
was,
oh, yeah,
because not,
I kind of skipped over
well,
that.
Well, no, not because there was any danger oh. militarily, but just because like you, there's a lot of drinking and stupidity involved. And God was really looking out for me the whole time because I wasn't, you know, I didn't really know God at the time. I didn't know Jesus at the time when I was in the military, but I felt like my life was preserved so I could know Jesus later. So thank God for that. I can't gloss over that because the Navy wasn't just like a blip. I was like kind of going through a hard time in the Navy too.
Mm.
And when I got out, because I was going through a hard time, I got out in San Diego with all my best beer drinking friends.
Wow.
And I ran away.
Were you a Coronado? No.
Yeah. I was a Coronado.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Well, that's where they have the SEAL training and everything.
Yeah. I am not a Navy SEAL yeah. at all.
But they still yeah. do. If you could be in the Navy, but not necessarily be a SEAL because it's still a Navy base.
Yeah. So my ship was stationed there. So I was on the Reagan and it was stationed in Coronado.
Yeah.
The Naval Air Base.
The Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big old honking.
It's been retired, hasn't it?
No. It actually, right when I was getting out, it moved its home base to Japan.
Oh my gosh.
As soon as I was getting out in 2015, it went to Japan.
Interesting. Wow.
So, yeah. So what was the question again?
No. So yeah. So
sorry.
you were thankful. By God's yeah. grace and by being able to get through that whole experience
yes.
and keeping your wits about you, so yeah,
exactly.
to speak. But then you came across somebody that really helped you kind of level up and get to where you wanted to be.
Yes. Yeah. So I got out in San Diego, I ran away to Colorado because they accepted me into college. So I went to the next place.
I like that hat, by the way, the Buffaloes.
Yeah. Prime time.
Prime
so,
time.
I went to Colorado, went to school there. And, you know, I was just in the gym one day, still fat. Husky. I was still husky.
Husky.
I was still a husky kid in the
it's
gym.
All right. We'll use it today.
And I was there for like two, and the gym has always been kind of like my way just to get it out. You know what I'm saying? Even when I was like 14, I would go to the gym, but I would still be kind of husky. Right. I was in the gym for 2 hours. At that time, I was like, what am I doing here? Nothing's happening. Like I'm here for hours and I have nothing to show for it. And so I just kind of was like, I got to get help. And so I talked to like the main trainer that was there and they directed me to this lady. Her name was Ashley. And she's a nutritionist, but she's really good though. Like not just like she didn't just like get a course online. Like she was like really into it. And I asked her for help and she was like, yeah, that's no problem. So she eventually just got me on kind of like a meal plan that she eyeballed kind of where I was at, put me on a meal plan. But after she realized that I was taking it seriously, she decided to show me what she was doing.
Huh.
And so she was showing me that whether it's your protein, carbohydrate, or fat, it really, as long as you get enough protein to make sure that you're repairing yourself properly, it really is calories in, calories out. And she told me that The biggest thing is that the reason why people don't like hearing that is because it means that it's actually your fault that you're where you're at.
That's right.
And if it's your fault, this is the good news, is that if it's your fault, then you can actually take control and ownership and get out of it if you just do a little accounting. And I am not an accountant.
No, it's a math thing. It's a math thing. Yeah. Right? It's numbers so at this point.
And that's not me. Like, that's not, right. That's not the type of guy I am. Yeah. But you can do this. If I can be an accountant for my macronutrients and my clients, then you can do it too. And you have a way out of whatever weird overweight mm-hmm. situation you might be in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I will 100% back that up with my own life experience. I mean, yes, I've been in the health and fitness space for a better part of 25 years since I came out of college in 98. But I've always maintained a certain physique, if you will. Mm-hmm. Probably always floated around 15% body fat. That's just kind of how I've hovered. Sure. I'm actually a little north of that at the moment. Because my whole thing was like, I want to be able to eat.
Right.
And I don't think restriction and elimination stuff is ever really good long term, right? You can have short term success, but it never works out long term.
Definitely.
I always thought, and certainly when I was younger, this proved to be true, is I could always outwork my whatever I wanted to eat. And that was true
mm-hmm.
through my 20s, pretty much.
Okay.
I was able to maintain a high activity level, no kids. You know, so it's all me time. My wife, when we met, we were still in our mid 20s and she was really into exercise and working out. So it was perfect pairing. We worked out together. You know what I mean? So we'd go for walks. We had dogs, you know, working out was always like a priority for us.
Sure.
But I understood, you know, what clean eating was versus crap, but I let myself get away with cheat weekends and all that stuff.
Yeah. You got to live.
And then once your activity level slows down and you get older and you have kids and the focus really ends up being them and work and career. And this is what happens to most people listening is that it's not you now are not the focus. Yeah. You're not the center of attention, so to speak. It's everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's when if you're not really disciplined, things can fall apart, even if you love working out. Even if, you know, I've always loved working out. You never have to coax me to come out and work out.
Right.
I am self-driven when it comes to working out. I've worked out since I was a little kid. I had big brothers growing up. I always wanted to be big and strong like my brothers. And so that's always been kind of just an easy thing for me. So I've maintained my muscle, you know, my muscle mass, my size, and always felt good and strong. But that fat that lingers on my body is because exactly what you're talking about. And so sorry for being so long-winded. I just wanted to kind of preamble myself.
Yeah.
2 years ago, Mike and I committed to working with Will Grazione. I think you met Will. Maybe you haven't yet. He's the Educated Dieter. He's local in Tampa. I'll share his info with you afterwards. Okay. He's amazing. He's a friend of ours. And he's terrific. He works with competitors. He works with everyday people and gets results. And he couldn't find a nicer guy.
Awesome.
Really, really smart like you. Just knows. Yeah. No, seriously. Dude, you're like a molecular biologist kind of dude going on here. You got brains coming out of your ears. So Will, what made Will so good for Mike and I is Mike invested in both of us to do this. He's like, hey, listen, I'll hook us both up. I'll get a session or whatever with Will. And we'll work with him for 3 months. And if that goes well, we'll work with him another 3 months. So we did. Okay. I did 6 months of working with Will as my accountability coach.
Nice.
Keeping a spreadsheet, counting my macros, doing a fit in my fitness pal on my phone. Yeah. I'd never done this before in my life.
Yeah.
Right? Because I didn't ever feel I needed to. When I did it, though, I saw you don't realize the calories that are in certain things.
Yes, exactly.
It's like I have 2-3 cups of coffee in the morning. Well, what's the cream? Like, oh, I just had 200-300 calories of cream.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Oh, there's a lot of fat.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then, I just had this. Here's another 300 calories. And before you know it, there's like a sneaky 600 to 1,000 calories
yes.
that you didn't even account for mentally in your brain. But because you're punching it into your phone, because
yes.
everything you eat, you're like literally punching it in after you eat.
Yep.
You're like measuring stuff. You're eyeballing some things. But you're, you know, I always would overestimate a little bit.
Right.
And I was like, whoa. And I only was allotted like 2150, I think, for calories a day. And I stuck to that. Dude, I lost 25 pounds from what you see right now.
I believe it.
I was down to like 190.
Wow, that might be
for me. I didn't like it.
Are you like 6'3"?
No, I'm dude.
I'm really short. I'm Greek. Sorry, I'm really short.
Thank you for giving me like 4 inches. No, I'm like 5'11 on a really good day. Yeah, for sure.
Dang,
that means I'm probably just my personality gives me a few inches.
That's it.
That must be
it. That's it. Okay.
So no, I haven't sniffed 6 feet in a long time.
Okay.
If ever. So I usually hover in the 210 to 220 range.
Okay.
Right now.
So 190 is like.
190 was like really light for me.
Yeah.
Like I hadn't been that light since high school.
Yeah.
Seriously. And I didn't like it, but I was like, wow. And that all I did different was measure my food, count my food.
Yeah.
My exercise was almost the same.
Sure.
Unchanged.
Yep.
Was I a little bit more cognizant because I also had to like, I mean, I've always taken a lot of steps because I coach baseball and I'm, you know, I'm pretty active guy. Yeah. So I always got my steps in. I work out 3 to 5 days a week,
right.
Every week without exception. The only thing different was my food, my calories in, calories out.
Right.
Really calories in.
Right. That pisses so many people off,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, I know it does.
Yeah.
But it was math for me.
It was math. Yeah.
And so you learned this from this woman, Ashley, mm-hmm. and a light went off, obviously. You started to get results. So what was that first 3-5 months like?
It was unbelievable because I had never in my life seen on the scale 108 and a number. Ever. I mean, when I was like in third grade, I was like 190 something.
Come on.
Seriously.
Oh my gosh, Mike.
Yes. So I've never seen 18.
I know you know, everywhere else such critics of ourselves, like the worst critics, right? So when you said you saw a picture of yourself shooting the gun with your dad or whatever, yeah. Boy Scouts, and it was a big blob. You're
legitimately
third grader. My daughter's in third grade.
Yes.
And she's like 85 pounds.
Right.
I can't imagine you're 100 pounds bigger than
that. And I wasn't a tall third grader either. So, you know what I'm
saying? Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah. So I know. So when I saw 18X, it was like a paradigm shift where it was like, because everyone always told you, oh, like your gut, whatever it is, that's a familial trait. You're never going to lose it.
Right.
So everyone in authority in my life always said, you're never going to lose it. Don't worry about it.
Don't even bother.
Yeah. So when that happened, I was like, oh, how many more things do I believe that are just not true? That I just take that is completely true, that are actually not true, that just got told to me. So it kind of broke open my whole thing. So when I saw 18X, I asked Ashley, do you think I could do a natural bodybuilding competition? And she was like, sure, why not? Do it. And so that was about 8 months before a competition. And I was just like, fine, let's do it. And I got down to like, I think it was like 171. I had to weigh in by 175. And so it like just seeing that 8 was like, if I got to 180, then you can get to anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, dude.
And so it was pretty, I don't know if I answered your question. I have no idea.
No, you totally. This is fantastic. I didn't know this detail about you. I knew, you know, just surface level stuff, but this is, this gives hope, I think, and should to anybody out there. Cause so many people, yeah. especially in our culture today, we live in a world of abundance, in a land of abundance, regardless of what the news wants to tell you and everything else and food shortages and all that. Yeah. I mean, I know there's people going to bed hungry. I realize that
right.
in poor communities and stuff like that. I'm generalizing here.
Definitely.
Most people have far too much.
Yes.
And they don't know what to do with it. I mean, I just threw out a bunch of food because my in-laws were visiting and they gave us all the stuff that they bought
right.
thinking they were going to eat it in 10 days. I'm like, you thought you were going to eat 2 containers of peanut butter? You thought you were going to eat 5 loaves of bread? Like, what? Who are you people, right? So, like, there was just stuff that was like, dude, I mean, I'll keep some of this, but some of it's going in the trash.
Yeah, it has to.
I don't know what to do with all this. And I think that's how so many of us are, is that we're kind, our bodies don't know that it's 2024 in the United States of America. Right. They don't know that there's a Publix.
Right.
I'm speaking, of course, about Florida right now. And really the Southeast, Publix is everywhere. There are literally, there's a Publix on every corner.
Every corner.
Right? Your body does not know that.
Yeah.
Your DNA does not know that.
Yeah.
As far as your body's concerned, it's store. Whatever is extra, I am going to store.
Yeah.
With the exception of protein. Because as we know, our bodies are pretty amazing. Like the one thing that we really need the most of is protein. And it's the one thing our body doesn't hold on to.
Yes.
If you take too much of it, you just urinate it.
That's right.
Which is crazy, right?
That's right.
But fat and sugar, your body's like, ooh, give me that. Some. Give me that. Yeah. I love that.
I love that.
I'll use this sugar for energy and I'll use that fat to keep me warm and store that because that's the best source of energy. But I'm not going to tap into that
right.
if I don't have to.
Unless I really, really,
really need it. And if I'm dying.
Yeah.
And so our bodies do that without us thinking. I wish you could just outthink your body and be like, dude, you know I'm not starving to death, so just
let go.
Let go of it. But it doesn't work that way. It is calories in and calories out, calories burned. But another thing that people don't really take into account too is activity level.
Mm-hmm.
Our activity levels are so wide-ranging.
Yes.
Even if you're, listen, you could be a gym rat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, token gym rat guy,
yeah,
or girl, but if your career has you in a chair, guess what? You're not as active as you think you are.
100%. And going back to what you said about the steps, you said I always got my steps in. I was coaching baseball, this kind of stuff. Walking, getting like 10,000 steps a day is like huge. One of the best things to make sure you're lean.
Yes,
steps are great, yes. Low impact, and they burn a ridiculous amount of calories.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So. Yeah, being up and vertical.
Yes.
That's, I think it was a luxury I had in my, certainly my teens, but my 20s, even into my early 30s, was sure. I always had a job where I was up on my feet moving. And it's only been the last 10 years, wouldn't you know, working for a fitness and health company that I've sat on my ass way too much
right.
because I'm at a computer.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, we're pretty smart here. I have a beautiful gym right outside my office door.
Glorious.
Like we do workouts. We're active. We go for walks around the building, like midday walks and get some sunshine and fresh air. And I try to get up and stretch and move and do. It's just not the same though. Like it's really hard to offset all that sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting really is like, it's a really awful side effect of technology.
Yes.
And we are so tech, you know, is this Seinfeld that goes, you know, we go from sitting on the sofa to sitting at the table to eat, to sitting in our car to get to work, to sit at our desk, to then sit back in our car on our way home, to sit in the chair to eat, to sit in our sofa to watch. It's like,
that's crazy.
It's all we do
is
sit.
There's a slogan or a saying that's going around that's saying sitting is the new smoking.
It really is.
And I really believe that.
It is. I think we have a product that says that somewhere. Yeah. No, I think we do have a product that talks about it because the hip flexors go dead.
Oh yeah.
The hip flexors are weak and tight because.
Oh yeah. That's a whole other.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It throws you off hormonally.
Yeah.
From all this like crunched half fetal position. Your body's really meant to be upright and moving and mobile.
Yeah. Meant to work.
It is meant to work. It really is.
It's biblical.
It is. And it fuels your brain too.
Yes.
I've learned so much in the last few years with how movement of the body and activity has such an impact on our cognitive function and stuff. But kind of getting back to where you are. So you compete in this show as a, going from a guy, 6 months to a year previous to that would classify himself as kind of a pudgy wannabe.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you learn all this stuff. This Ash, I'm sure you've given her lots of love over the years just for being kind of like the catalyst to like this major life change for you.
I always give her credit every single time. I'll say like, there's always like a Merry Christmas or Happy New Year. Thanks for changing my life. It's always.
Oh, wow.
Always. Like
where is she?
Colorado. Last time I checked, she was in Colorado.
She's in Colorado.
Yeah.
So if we should get her to listen to the show and then we're giving Ashley some love on the show.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's in Colorado. You know who you are because there's only one Michael Foutrides as far as
thank you, Ashley.
Thank you. That's Phoutrides.
Yes.
Correct. And that's Greek?
Greek.
Okay, good. I'm glad we got that out
Elenica.
There.
Yeah.
Futrides. I like it. I remember the first time I heard it or saw it, I was like, I'm not sure how to say it. And then you said it and then it just clicked for me. I'm like, oh, sure. Futrides.
Nice.
It just clicked. Awesome. So that's good. So this kind of this trajectory then of like, and you, what'd you end up with in that show?
Second
place, dude.
Yeah.
First ever show.
Yeah. It was crazy.
You must have just been beside yourself. Like, look how far I've come.
Yeah. Like it was a whole new chapter of my life where it was just like, wait a minute. Like this was like, cause I grew up in the '90s with Schwarzenegger and Predator.
Of course.
And like, that was like, my dad was like a '60s like bodybuilder too.
Really?
Like he taught me how to lift weights, stuff like that. He's a legend. And like, I never thought this was going to be,
right.
I could ever do something like this.
Wow.
And so when that happened, all of life changes because you go, what else can I do?
Right. And how old are you at that point? Mid 20s?
I'd be 27 at my first show.
Wow.
27, because it was 2017. So 27.
And so that was like hook, line, and sinker for like, I want to make this kind of my platform. And help other people.
Yeah. If I can make some, I always said this, if I can make someone's one person, their life, if I could be someone's Ashley, that would be like, that would be awesome. Like that would just be awesome. You know?
Wow.
So
now you are. So I could, if I ever call you Ashley, it's just cause I'm giving you like, I'm giving you love.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Don't call me Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley. We actually have a few Ashleys here at the compound, which is pretty crazy.
And they're all legends too.
They're both legends, which is great. So, what would you say if someone asked you right now, how should I eat? I am struggling to lose 10 to 20 pounds, which I think most people would classify themselves maybe 10 to 20 pounds away, maybe even 25 where they want to be. Mm-hmm. What are some do's and don'ts? Like, what are some things that are just kind of like nice little tricks of the trade or things that you have seen, other people have success with? Like if they just did these three things or omitted these three things, like some simple steps.
Yeah. It's a great question. Remember when we were talking earlier, you were talking about when we were a kid, you'd have cereal and didn't care how big the bowl was.
Correct.
Okay. That was me too. You have a big old bowl. You put half the box in there, right?
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, man. Especially the one. I was a Frosted Flakes guy.
I know. Are you going to say Golden Grahams?
Oh, I love Golden Grahams. Sorry. It wasn't in there, Captain Crunch, of course. Okay. But the sneaky good one is that like granola cereal with all the crumbled pieces of granola with the raisins
honey
and
the oat clusters.
Any of that.
Got it.
That's the sneaky good one. I'd rather eat that than a bowl of cereal back in the day. Cereal was, did I just say eat that than a bowl of cereal? I meant bowl of ice cream. You know what I meant.
I would rather
eat a bowl of cereal than a bowl of ice cream because it was so satisfying.
All the crunchiness.
You get the sweet and the crunchy and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So right out of the gate, you're saying, okay, how big of a bowl are you putting this bowl in?
You said like, what are a few things? What are some do's? I think the best thing, in my opinion, is to, because you just got to, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Right. So once you see something, that's it, right? For good or for bad, right? It's in your brain now.
Yeah, you're right.
I would go, don't even buy it. Don't even buy one. Borrow someone's gram scale. Don't buy one. Just borrow it.
Borrow it.
And I would pour one serving of cereal in a bowl that says on the box. You know, the box says 150 calories per 30 grams, whatever it is.
Correct.
Pour that and look at it. That will change your perspective on everything.
Because most people are probably eating four serving sizes if they have a bowl of cereal.
At least. I would say at least. And then also when you're eating a salad because you think you're going to be healthy, go ahead and measure how much 2 tablespoons of oil looks like. And that's 120 calories if it's olive oil.
Wow.
And if you have 2 tablespoons, you're realizing that, on my really healthy salad, I might actually be having 800 to 1,000 calories of oil on this thing.
Holy crap.
Depending on how much I'm going like this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the salad turned, you may as well have had the cheeseburger.
Right.
Because the cheeseburger has less calories.
Right. And actually more nutrient dense.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean, at least you're getting the protein and the fat that you need.
And meat is like a multivitamin.
Right. Meat's like a multivitamin.
So, so the biggest thing is to see it. And once you see it, then you start asking all the questions you need to ask. Like, wait a minute. If I'm doing this way, then what am I doing with my coffee? Like with the creamer?
Yes.
And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I don't have an actual physiological problem. maybe I just have a portion problem.
Or an eyesight problem.
And by the way, when you go back to like, you remember how you were saying you were tracking all your food for and you were yes. plugging in? After a while, you can eyeball it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You won't be perfect at it.
Yeah, but.
It's not forever that you're going to be like, okay, what's this? What's
no,
that?
No.
What's that?
But I'm telling you what, it set me up. I mean, I saw a full year of success from just being really, really good for 3 to 6 months
yes.
of tracking.
Yes.
And I started to track less as I kind of got deeper into that,
right.
that work. And then I kind of, you know, of course, phased out of tracking altogether
yeah.
and still was like having good habits for a while. But then of course, then the holidays came and then, you know, everything, life gets the best of you if you're not prioritizing.
Public service announcement though. Yes. You're supposed to overeat on the holidays. Yes. I just want people to know that.
At least like, a couple of days a year, right?
Like you're with family. You don't ever want to be in a situation where, man, I wish I ate that burger with my dad because now I can't anymore.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? You want to yeah. be, you know, don't always be a, you know, for on average,
yes.
do your best. But then like, there's those times where it's like, hey, grandpa wants to have a cheeseburger with me. He's 90. I know it's over my macros, but I'm going to have a cheeseburger with my grandpa. That's Please right. have a cheeseburger with your grandpa.
Or somebody's birthday. Someone's I'm going to have a celebratory piece of cake or yes. one of these awesome homemade like donut things from like one of these. Jupiter Donuts is over this way, but then we have another one, Galaxy or
I think it's Cosmic Donuts.
Cosmic right? Donuts yeah. is up by in. They're great.
Yes.
So they're like gourmet. I don't ever go there, but if there's a birthday here, one of us who drives past it will pick it up and bring a box, a dozen donuts here with all different freaking stuff on them. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Keep that box a little bit away from Mike because he's hilarious. Mike's one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet in your life.
I love
really
Mike.
Dry, but really like, I mean, I've known Mike since we were 15 years old. We go back.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. We played high school football together. He moved from Virginia to Connecticut.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The summer before sophomore year.
Okay.
And then we've been friends ever since. And, he will quarter the donuts. So when we get these or half them, but the funny thing is, I'm like, you cut it all in quarters, but you still ate the whole thing.
Death
I'm
by
like,
a thousand cuts.
Yeah, that's exactly right. For him, it doesn't feel like it's as much if he's just eating a quarter at a time. But
my
I'm like, you
dad
keep going
used to do that
back
all the time.
To the, I would see him walk past my office.
Drive-bys.
He does drive-bys. So it's like every time he goes to the bathroom, he's like, oh, it's just a quarter.
That's such a fitness guy thing
yes,
to do.
I it really love it. Is.
That's my dad. That's my dad. Yeah. 100%.
Now he's been doing good though lately. So I got to give him credit. He's been following someone's help to try and cool. shed a few pounds. Cause you know, it's like fitness guys, you can let yourself get away on occasion, but then you'll kind of always find like an opportunity to reel yourself back
yeah.
in. It's like, all right, my kid said something to me or I saw a picture of myself and I was like, yeah.
Well, that's also the beauty of lifting weights because
it is.
Even if you gain weight, you still look good because you still have like the square chest,
yes.
you have the broad shoulders.
Yeah, my chest still sticks out further than my belly right now. So
it's like,
that's good.
And that's also a benefit. And also real quick, going back to that real quick, like you might be asking, okay, well, I work at an office and everyone has a birthday every day. There's a birthday every day and there's cake every single
day. I work at a place with hundreds of people. Yeah. So there's always a birthday.
And that's also the beauty of counting because you can be like, listen, I know it's Rebecca's birthday on Friday. I know that they're going to, she loves crumble cookies. I know I'm going to have a crumble cookie. So maybe the day before or even that day, you can just shave off a few hundred calories and that won't even matter.
That's
so you can
right.
plan for it.
That's
so,
right.
And so
do a little intermittent fasting now
yeah.
and again, which
yeah.
is, I think, one of the greatest ways to see some success, and you're not doing anything bad for yourself.
Right.
Trust me, right?
Right.
Like fasting has been around for ages,
yeah.
for centuries and millennia.
Yeah.
People have known about fasting
yeah.
and seen success with it. Obviously for religious purposes, but also it's a cleansing detox type thing.
Definitely right.
Especially as long as you're hydrating, you know, like never like short yourself on your water intake. Keep your water coming in. And try to, if you can, get some electrolytes as well.
Right.
But the fasting, these short-term, like 16-hour fasts,
yeah.
I think these are wonderful ways for people to see success and eat in a window of time. What are your feelings on that in general?
I kind of go back and forth. I'm doing that now. I just kind of like, I don't eat till about 1 because it's just better like that. But sometimes if I'm like, but I can also vary it, right? Like if I know that I'm not going to be home or I'm be able to eat at one, then I'll have a morning breakfast and I'll carry me over. So it's all flexible.
Yeah.
But I have noticed that, especially with a lot of my clients, that if they give themselves like a fasted window, like you said, 16 hours, it's about 16 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, well, have your breakfast. It's not a rule that breakfast has to be eaten when it says AM on the clock, right?
Correct.
Have your breakfast at one. And they love that because they get a lot of, they're eating less calories per day, but they're eating a high voluminous amount of food at one time. So they don't even feel like they're, and I always say that if you're like there's hungry morning people and then there's hungry night people.
Yes.
And so see which one you are and then adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
I think that's great.
Because it's all about, like we said, calories in, calories out. Your body does not care what time you eat. It's just calories over time on average are either make you lose weight, gain weight, or stay the same.
That's right.
So whatever works for you, if you can hold on to it and do it and be consistent at it, you're going to win.
I've seen plenty of very fit, like shredded people who are like, it's fine to eat some carbs before you go to bed.
Oh yeah.
It depends on what, you know, maybe not a big old bowl of ice cream or anything, but like, if you want to have like some oatmeal or if you want to have, I don't know, pick your complex carbohydrate that has some maybe nutrition to it,
yeah.
But it can actually help you sleep, right? Because it's so satiating and it can actually, when you're digesting, it can make you a little bit groggy and sleepy.
Definitely. Carbs are great for sleep. Do you ever listen to Dr. Kirk Parsley?
Not familiar with him.
He's all about sleep. He's like, he was an ex-Navy SEAL and he basically got all the Navy SEALs off Ambien because everyone was on Ambien and it was actually killing people.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty much, essentially, like lowering their testosterone levels because they were like, they weren't sleeping, but they were dissociating. They actually weren't going to REM or deep sleep.
Oh no.
And, but yeah, carbohydrates before you sleep is actually a really good idea because it actually helps you get to sleep and also stay asleep longer. Carbohydrates before you go to bed.
Wow.
So yeah, all these little things like, oh, if you intermittent fast, then your metabolism is going to crash because you need to eat as soon as you wake up. And then there's these things where it's like, don't eat carbs before bed because yada, yada.
Yeah, no.
It's all those paradigms that people just kind of, they hear it so often that they end up believing it.
Yes.
But there's no actual facts behind it.
No.
It's just that it's been regurgitated over and over again.
Yes, it becomes accepted.
Yeah, no one looks into it.
Wow, isn't that something?
So,
and I mean, I can, it all depends on too, what's available. You know, we're all about convenience, right? Mm. So it's making, you know, and I kind of short-sighted you when I asked for like, so what are some really good tips? And you went down about this portion control with the cereal and stuff. That was like, you know, that's total. Like,
you didn't short me at all, by the way.
No, okay. I mean, we went off on tangents, as I promised.
I love tangents.
We would, right. What are some other like simple changes or tweaks that people can make in their lifestyle, in their habits, like whether it's an AM thing, a midday thing, or an evening thing?
Yeah.
When it comes in, obviously we've talked about intermittent fasting. We've talked about like, don't fight your natural tendencies.
Yes.
To, you know, if you're more of a morning appetite person, go for it.
Go
for it. If you're an evening type, if you can kind of go your whole day and your first meal is lunch, fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anything else kind of that comes to mind in this?
Yeah. So no matter who you are, morning person, evening person, whether you eat three meals a day, five meals a day, usually people are habitual. They're even if they're habitual in a bad way, like they habitually overeat, right? but there's middle ground where you're not eating. There's just times where you're working at it. So that's when kind of like those hunger pangs kind of get you.
Yes.
You kind of like, you might be bored and not hungry. So you might want to just start snacking because you're bored.
Or just thirsty for water.
That's exactly where I was going.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's great because it means we're on the same wavelength. Yes. When two people are thinking the same thing, that there's definitely truth in there, right?
Yeah.
And so when you feel like you want a snack, drink water. Because I mean, like chug like half a bottle, like a 16.9 fluid ounce bottle of water. And that's going to satiate you till your next meal. And we were talking earlier, like just a little bit of cream or a little bit of this and that could add a few hundreds of calories a day. Mm. If you can cut that out just by drinking water and you don't go for those little 100, 200
handful
calorie,
of whatever,
handful yeah. of whatever, you're going to end up winning. Because just think about it. Eating 100 calories, there's like those little 100 calorie almond packs, right?
Sure.
That are like done, right?
Oh,
it's over, right?
It's like 15 almonds.
It's ridiculous, right? It's not even fair. Go burn 100 calories on the treadmill.
You'll be there for what?
forever for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's way easier to not eat 100 calories than to have to go burn 100 calories.
That's right.
So if you just, if you could just drink water when you're bored snacking, you're going to save yourself hundreds of calories a day.
Mm.
Like if you want to do that.
And those, Sean Hatzel, a good close friend of ours, you haven't met him, but that's who actually Mike's working with right now. And Sean's amazing. He's called the Ripped Grandpa. I mean, this guy has 10 grandchildren. He's in his early 50s.
Legend.
He is as lean a guy as you'll ever meet in your life.
Nice.
Yeah, he is legendary.
Nice.
And just a great guy, family guy, a good close friend of ours. And I bring him up because in a recent podcast that he did with Mike, talking about kind of his coaching and what he can do for people in this same space, he loves that feeling of hunger when it first creeps on, because he says, that's when I know my body is going to be burning fat.
Right on.
And that's when he says, go drink your water.
Yeah.
You know, and
perfect.
And push that a little bit further.
Yes.
Like, so like, come to view hunger, not like I'm starving to death hunger.
Yeah.
But that those faint feelings of, oh, I could eat.
Yeah.
Start to enjoy those opportunities as chances to like sustain or push a little longer through that window.
Sure.
Right. Knowing that that's when your body is in like fat burning mode.
100%.
Right?
100%.
Yeah. And so he just view, it's just about how we view things, right? Like people, they start to get the feeling of hunger, so they immediately go to food.
Yeah.
But if you can just say, hey, now's my body's opportunity to actually burn some calories.
Right.
And if I just go drink a big tall glass of water and just chug it down.
Yeah.
I probably won't be thinking about food now for another hour or two.
That's
perhaps.
Right. That's right.
You know, go back to my work. Occupy myself with something else. That's why at work, it's really easy for me to eat clean at the office. I can be great here. I can be great in the morning at home.
Uh-huh.
All day here, I can be great.
Yeah.
And I can go home, and because there's some crap food in the house.
Yeah.
Between 8 and 10 o'clock at night, I will succumb to that.
Yes.
Just because it's there.
Yeah.
Last night, I told you before I think we hit record, last night was a good night for me.
Yeah.
I ate what my wife put out for me, a nice like thing of food, chicken and a sweet potato and some vegetable. And I ate that and I didn't eat anything else. And I felt like that's a win for me.
Yeah.
If I can get away, because that's my snack time.
Yeah.
Is evening, not here at the office.
Right.
I'll walk past that thing of donuts. I'll celebrate. I'll eat a half a donut with everybody on their birthday. And that's it. I won't touch another piece of it.
Yeah.
Because I just know like, I'll drink a water. I'll drink a sparkling something. I'll have a Celsius. I'll just sit at my desk and I got work to do.
Right.
I don't need to be eating right now.
Right.
But when I get home,
and
just
unwind.
Out of convenience, because it's freaking sitting there and I know it's in the kitchen.
Yes.
And I know my son or daughter brought some sweet thing home.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like, daddy's going to go tear it up.
Yeah.
And so that's my, but I know that.
Yeah. And you know yourself.
I know my weakness. So what's your weakness now at this stage? What's your, do you have, still, do you have
same,
a weakness?
It's the same weakness I've always had.
Yeah.
I'm Greek and Italian. We eat at night and we eat a lot.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like eating is like a comfort thing. Cause it's like you're with your family and you're eating. That's just how it is. Like when I go back home for Christmas, we're going to be eating, not Christmas dinner. We're going to be eating Christmas day, the whole day.
The whole day.
People are going to be putting things in their mouth all day long.
Yeah.
Right. So my thing is at nighttime. it's always at night.
Right.
So I know that. So I always save something sweet for myself at night. I always have like a little bowl of cereal at night and it just curbs it.
And it curbs it.
Yeah. Cause I know myself. I know that if I don't plan that, I'm going to do it anyway. So why not just like jujitsu it and go with it and just go whoop and just succumb to it, but succumb on my terms. Like, yeah, I'm succumbing to what I want, but I'm planning for it.
Right.
You know,
I think if more people just did the simple things like that, like, you know, I know I'm going to be in this environment. I know there's going to be this food item or something that is really like a weakness for me or something I really want. So if I can shave those calories off right now or earlier in the day.
Yes.
Right. Skip something here or not eat something now.
Right.
To save for later.
Yes.
It is. It's like, well, let's take it to money. It's like, if there's something that you know you want to buy and it's X amount of dollars, right?
Yep.
And you have the cash on you now, but then you come across something else earlier in the day, it's like, well, if I spend money on this now, I won't have enough for that one later.
Yes.
So let me save my money for what I really want.
Right. That's the exact analogy I give my clients all the time. Yeah. Think of it like a budget, just like that. It's just exactly budgeting. What I use.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, this is, and that's what I like about the, you know, your philosophy and the way you're able to coach people up and the things that we like to do here at Critical Bench is we like to take the complex and the complicated and simplify them.
Perfect.
Because people don't like complex and complicated. I don't know anybody that does, other than maybe an engineer or a molecular biologist.
Oh, I keep it simple, man. Simple for me. Yeah, big time.
K-I-S-S.
K-I-S-S.
Keep it simple, stupid.
That's right.
And because that's what people can latch onto and I think take with them for the long haul.
Yeah.
And see that success all the way down the line. Yeah. So
it is simple. It is simple.
So what are the ways that people who want to get to know you better, besides seeing you on Critical Bench's YouTube channel?
Yeah.
And other social media that we have here at Critical Bench and the Strong by Design podcast, where can they go to see you if they have interest in maybe contacting you or working with you? What are those platforms?
Yeah. So there's only one social media that I really hang out on the most for my weight loss, and that is that's on X. Hmm. And I'm at Weight Loss
Formerly
Chad.
Formerly Twitter. Okay.
And it's Cornerstone Weight Loss, but it's at Weight Loss Chad. Weight Loss, C-H-A-D, no spaces. And then also my website, cornerstoneweightloss.com. I have a blog there. I think I have 50-something blogs on there. So you could take what's in my brain, and if you want, you can just go on my website and look at all the blogs, and they're all helpful. They're all actionable. So you don't even 100% need me unless you want me.
Wow.
You can just get free stuff on my website, and it's information that we spoke about today, plus more. And you can piece together something for yourself using my website.
And what exactly, if people did want to follow through and work with you, are you basically a weight loss coach, or how do you classify yourself?
Yeah, I look at myself as a weight loss consultant because I'm never going to force, I can't force you. But B, I'm not going to be like, you must do this, you must do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take what you're already doing, and I'm going to just teach you to see what you're doing and better understand how food affects your body and make it common sense. And then eventually you'll be put in control of how you look. So I always say, unless you're using me for a competition or you need a coach for something in the long haul that you're going to need someone for accountability, like for instance, like a bodybuilding show. If you're using me longer than 3 or 6 months, then I'm doing something
right,
wrong.
Right, right, right. You're failing.
Yeah, I'm failing because I'm not teaching you what you should be picking up over those months. Because after a while, you'll be like, wait, why do I need this guy?
Right.
I already know my body now. I know what makes me lose weight. Bye, Mike. Have a nice day. And then once that happens, my work is done.
Yeah.
There are some people that like to work with me. I have a lot of clients that come to me all the time that are repeat customers because. Like they just enjoy having me just be with them along the way and say, hey, don't worry about this or, you know?
Well, because you become more than just a weight loss consultant, right? You become a bit of a mentor, other word besides friend that I'm trying to come up with, but you're there with them. You're a guide that they just enjoy.
Yeah. It's like a confidant kind of thing.
Confidant. Yeah. So, same with like a good personal trainer.
Exactly. Or, right.
If you work with a client for 3, 6, 9 months, like they know you've taught them a lot, hopefully if you're good.
Yeah.
And the only reason they're sticking to you probably is because they just enjoy that time together.
Yeah. It's like a relationship.
It's a relationship. Yeah. It's connection now.
Yeah.
And it's accountability too.
Yes.
In terms of they know what to do, but just them knowing that you're there waiting for them.
Yes.
They know they can't miss.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. They don't want to let you down. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Which is
people go bend over backwards for others more than they will for themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is hysterical to me because I'm like, I'm nobody. Like, so like, don't, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I have a lot of awesome clients that really get after it and it's super hardworking, that are family, they have kids, they have multiple businesses, and they just get after it. And it's my honor to just show them a common sense.
Do you Zoom with them or what? How do you usually meet virtually?
Yeah,
most
so
people?
If they're local, I'm going to meet with you in person because I believe in this.
Oh yeah.
You know, but I have a lot of clients in California. I used to have some in Georgia, and we used to do Zoom over the phone. A lot of it's through texting and stuff like that. So it's 2023. So
right.
we have a lot of different ways to contact one
That's
another.
Right. That's right.
But if you're local in Florida, in Tampa or Clearwater, I want to meet with you because I want you to see me
yeah.
to make sure that you know that I'm not just some guy behind a screen not caring about you.
Yeah.
Because that whole thing of turning a chapter in your life where you go from this to something you didn't think you could be is huge. It's huge. And I'm kind of selfish in a way that it would be my honor to be a part of it.
Right.
You know, so absolutely. I want to be there in front of you.
Yeah. And show there's nothing you that, quite like, you know? In-person interaction and stuff. It'll never yeah. replace
never.
The virtual experience. While that's a great second option.
Yes.
And for a lot of people, it's the only option, right. at least in certain stages of life. I work for an online company, but I work in a building with people.
Right.
Right. I am not a guy who's going to be productive at home sitting in his underwear at his laptop.
No, you are such a personable guy.
It's just not my,
well, no. Yeah.
Yeah. I just need to be, I need to be in a space with other people.
Yeah.
Now there are moments when we're all working with doors shut
sure.
and we're grinding. Yes. But I know in an hour or two, I'm going to be able to go pick on Jared or see Steve in the kitchen or, yes. or say hi to Sam or Lindsay or Mike exactly. or Ahmad or somebody that's here. And it works.
Yeah.
It works when yeah. you know it's there for you when you need it.
Right.
We all need pick me ups or, you know, so anyway, I encourage anybody out there, don't ever overlook the need for contact and,
right.
and interaction, no matter what facet of life you're in or,
yeah.
or industry that you're in. Well, dude, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Oh, it's an honor.
Yeah. And these are evergreen conversations. Like literally you and I just getting to know each other better.
Yeah.
Help somebody on the other end and will continue to help other people on the other side for years to come, which always makes me feel so good. I go back and I look at past podcasts from 2018, 2019, 2020, still collecting downloads.
Awesome.
Still helping people.
Awesome.
Right. And so this won't be the last one that we can do, which is so cool too.
Awesome.
Because there's a lot of things that we could have touched on or talked about that we didn't. And then, so we'll have you back and we can go down other paths. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Thanks. Can I say one more thing before?
Of course you can.
So you said a lot of good things about me today.
I did.
You said a lot of good, I'm smart, all this stuff. I don't believe it. But really any good quality I have comes from my faith in God and faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, so all the glory to him. I'm just a vessel of flesh and bone and nothingness. So anything good you said, it's all just a reflection of my relationship with Jesus Christ.
Oh,
and that's
for you,
I want to end on that because that's the biggest part of my life is that.
Obviously we're a business that's, filled with men and women that also have strong faith.
Yeah.
And we utilize that and we run with it in our business and it seems to be working out for us.
Yeah.
Keeps us grounded. It's where our core values come from as a business, how right. we treat each other. We're family.
Yeah.
Our culture that we've created here is terrific, even with our online employees. So
yeah.
we have people that we've never met in person that work for us all over the country, all over the world.
Right on.
But we have great relationships with them just because of we're grounded in something that we feel is much bigger than us.
Definitely.
And as long as we stick to the narrow path, you know,
right on,
things seem to have a way of falling into place for us. So
that's right.
There's obviously no, mystery behind how we came to know you then
right.
because it was, ordained, if you will.
Right.
So, listeners, thank you so much for joining us again on the Strong by Design podcast. Another wonderful conversation that I have no doubt will help you in some way make that small change to see really big results on the other side. And you're never too far gone. You're never in a dead end. You know, never give up on yourself. Never stop trying to find a way to improve yourself. It's one conversation. You're one conversation away. I often think to myself, they're one person away, one conversation away, one day away from that life altering event. And you can get those results that you're after. So we thank you. We love you. God bless you. And we'll be back next week or next episode because we're doing so many every week now. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.